You're listening to the Righteous Babe Podcast, the show that gives you the inspiration and practical tools you need to create a life-changing journaling practice. You may have kept a diary as a kid, but this is the grown woman's guide to journaling. I'm your host, Javacia Harris Bowser, and each week I'll offer you uplifting conversation and thought-provoking prompts to help you write your way to the best version of yourself. Let's do this. What's up, Journal Babes? It's your girl, Javacia, aka The Righteous Babe. And of course, that's righteous spelled W-R-I-T-E-O-U-S. Because when you're a writer, you get to make up words. Today is a very special day because today is our season one finale. Yes, we are coming toward the end of 2023, and so it is time to wrap up this first season of the Righteous Babe Podcast, and I'm so grateful for all of you who have been tuning in and giving me feedback, whether that's via social media or email. I just really, really appreciate your support, and I'm looking forward to an even more incredible season two. So for this season finale, we are going to play 20 questions, sort of. So here's what we're going to do. I put a call out on social media asking folks for their questions about journaling. And so I'm going to first answer 10 questions that I received. A lot of the questions were the same. I picked 10. I'm going to answer those. And then later, I'm going to give you 10 questions that you need to ask yourself, questions that you can journal around, obviously, because this is a journaling podcast, that will help you review this year and also prepare for the year ahead. Sounds good? All right, let's get started. All right, the first question that I got was a pretty serious one. I was like, whoa. And it was, what do you do when unexpected or triggering feelings arise while journaling? This is a tough one because something that I've said always, even on the from the very first episode of this podcast, is that journaling can be therapeutic, but journaling is not therapy. Your therapist may even want you to include journaling as a part of your practice to help you cope with certain things, as a part of your self-care practice. But journaling should never take the place of therapy. So I am not a therapist. Let me start there. But what I do personally when I do have these sort of unexpected triggering feelings while I'm journaling, I first pause and kind of, you know, I acknowledge them. I don't try to ignore them and push them back down. I acknowledge them. And then I kind of ask myself, like, what do I need to do in this moment to take care of myself? Do I need to keep digging with this and keep writing about it? Or do I need to step away and do something that is going to be more nourishing for me? So that's the first thing I do, is kind of check in with myself to see what do I need in that moment to really take care of myself. And then, of course, I make note of these feelings so that I can bring them to my therapist in our next session. So that's what I do. Again, I am not a therapist. So honestly, I feel like if you do journal regularly and you have a therapist, I feel like this is a very good question to chat with your therapist about. All right, next question, a little lighter. And that is, do you journal with or without music? And for me personally, I do both. I mostly journal without music. But I have journaled with music. Usually if I journal with music, it's going to be instrumental, like the new Andre 3000 album, for example, which is a flute album, in case you've been living under a rock. That would be a great album for journaling. I don't typically journal to music that has lyrics because I'll get distracted and start singing. So I think either one where, you know, you just got to figure out what works for you. Like I said, most of the time I journal without music, but when I do journal with music, it is instrumental. What are your thoughts on brain dump journaling? Well, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of brain dump journaling, and that is just when you do a brain dump, when you just get out all the stuff that's on your mind. I talk a lot about morning pages, which is this idea of doing 3 pages of free writing every day, first thing in the morning. That's an idea that was popularized by Julia Cameron, the author of The Artist's Way. She's very adamant that you should do this in the morning. I think you should just do it whenever you can. But I'm a big, big fan of brain dump journaling. Next question. Have you tried paired journaling between 2 or 3 people? And yes, I have. If you caught the episode that I did with my husband, Righteous Bo, then you'll remember that we talked about how we kept a journal that we would basically kind of pass back and forth. It was a guided journal. So you were answering different questions, and then you would give the person the journal, and then they would answer questions. And then we also started using a couple's journal that we found called the Same Page Journal. And it's one where you don't pass it back and forth. You sit down together and kind of work through different prompts together. So yes, I have done that. I think it's a great idea for couples. I'm not a parent, but I think it could probably be a good idea for a parent and a child as well. Speaking of which, next question is, any advice for teaching children how to journal? So as I just said, I'm not a parent. However, I was a teacher for 10 years. I was an English teacher, another reason I can make up words. And, you know, I taught older kids, so I taught teenagers. But I recently purchased a journal called My Starter Journal. It's a journal for kids. I don't know why I got it. Because I don't have kids, and my nieces are too young to, they don't know how to read or write yet. But I'm saving it, and maybe I'll give it to them when they get older or give it to some other child. If we'll see. Anyway, I bought it. It was cute. It was a journal. Y'all know I have a problem. If I see a cute journal, I have to buy it. And so I bought it. But after I got this question, I started looking through it, and it had some really good tips. And honestly, what was really surprising to me is that the tips that were given in that journal for kids, I feel like adults basically need to do the same thing. So basically the way this journal was set up is that it had kids answer a few questions every day. So at the beginning of the day, you would answer, how do I feel today? And it's really cute. It has like little emojis, if you will, a little smiley face or frowny face or whatever. You circle how you feel. And then you write a daily affirmation. So you write an affirmation for the day. And it's either an I can statement or I am statement. And so in the book, it gives kids like some advice on some examples of what those statements could be. Talks about the importance and power of affirmations. So again, how do I feel today? A daily affirmation. That's an I am statement or I can statement. 3 things you're grateful for. So again, at the beginning of the book, it talks a lot about gratitude and why that's important. Then 1 thing I will do to make today great. And it gives examples. It's so cute. Like one of them was, I will listen in class. So for adults, it could be, I will actually pay attention in these meetings at work. So, and then in the evening, you answer 1 thing that made today great, and also, what did I learn today? And again, these were for kids, but y'all, like, adults should do the same thing. So if you are kind of stuck, you're trying to get started with a journaling practice, and you're kind of like, I don't know what to do, if brain dump journaling isn't working for you, I would really highly recommend following this. So again, in the morning, you're answering, how do I feel today? You're writing a daily affirmation and listing three things you're grateful for, and then one thing you're going to do to make the day great. And then in the evening, you're going to list one thing that made the day great and one thing that you learned. Don't you love that? I love it. I think I'm going to start doing it. So, all right. Another question. What's your favorite, grid journals or lined journals? And do you have favorite pens, watercolors, or washi tape? As much as I love journaling, I'm not the person who like decorates her journal. I do decorate my planners, but even that usually falls off as the year progresses. Like in the beginning of the year, I'm all excited and I'm putting stickers on everything and all this stuff and everything's color coded. But by the second quarter, that's all gone away. So I am just like regular lined journal. I don't like grid journals because I feel like I need to do something cute in order to use them, and I don't have time for that. I just want to get my thoughts out. So I just like a regular lined journal. I don't like journals with outlines because I am completely incapable of writing in a straight line without a line. And so my journal pages would just be a complete mess if I didn't have lines. So sorry, I don't have any fun stuff to talk about with that, but I'm kind of boring when it comes to what my journaling looks like. All right. Would you be willing to read an entry and talk about it? Well, yes, I've done that. In fact, in the last episode, which is about values, I read quite a bit from my journal. And I've read from my journal in other episodes too. So speaking of past episodes, so in December, I'll be taking the month off so that I can prepare for season two. And that would be a fantastic time for you to catch up on any episodes that you have missed. The person also wanted to know would other folks be willing to come on to the show and read from their journals. And I've had a few guests who have read from their journals. Audrey, who was on a month or so ago, she read from her journal. So go back and listen to that episode if you haven't. It was really cool. And so if you are listening and you're like, I would like to be on the podcast and I would be willing to read from my journal, then hit me up and let me know. Because like I said, in December, I'm planning out season two. And if you want to be a part of it, let me know. All right. Another question was, could you talk about turning journaling into a book? So here are my thoughts on that. I think that your journal could be great inspiration for a book, but I don't think you should ever plan to just take your journal and just straight turn that into a book, unless it's something that you're just giving to like your kids or something. But like, because your journal is, I don't want you thinking about an audience when you're journaling. Because if you are thinking about an audience when you're journaling, you're not going to be as free, right? So your journal, when you first write it, needs to just be for you, right? But when you are at that point of writing a book, you definitely can go to your journal and pull out things that you feel like would add to the book. I did that with my book. There are several things in the book that are from my journal. So I definitely think your journal can help you in your book writing process. But when you're journaling, I think you should just let yourself be free. Now, unless you are intentionally, like you just decide, hey, I'm going to journal this book, like how you might blog your book. If you decide you want to journal your book, then that's fine. But that's different from like a regular journaling practice, I think. So I hope that makes sense. Now, the question that I got the absolute most was, And actually, it's the two questions I got the most, but they're related, so I'm going to kind of talk about them together. And those were, what do you do with your old journals? And then, what do you do with your journals after you die? Right? And the question was, do you burn, bury, or leave to descendants? All right, so this is a very hard question. So what do you do with your old journals? I'll tell you what I would like to do in my perfect world, and then I will tell you what I actually do. So a friend of mine, fellow writer, her name is Haley, she has this system. She has a shelf on her bookcase that is just for old journals, and she buys like different colors of moleskin journals. And so she has these different colors grouped together in, on a shelf in her bookcase. So it looks amazing, right? I aspire to that. That is not at all what I do with my old journals. My old journals are everywhere. So some of them are in bins in my home office. Some of them are in drawers in my home office. Some of them are, a lot of them, most of them are in my attic. And my husband, who has to put them up there because I'm afraid to go in the attic because I'm five, he's recently said to me, Javasia, you do realize that an attic does not have infinite space, so I can't put any more in the attic. So now they're just kind of filling up my home office. So yeah, those are two options. You can have this beautiful color-coded shelf on your bookcase, or you can have them all over the place. So up to you. So what do you do with them after death? Now, obviously, you aren't doing anything with them because you're dead. But the question is, like, you want to leave instructions, right? So a guest on the show earlier this season, she mentioned that she actually has a friend that she's already had this conversation with, and she knows that, so she has like different types of journals, right? So she has like one set of journals that she would be okay with family members and friends seeing what's in there, and then she has another set where she's like, no, nobody can see this. And so she has a trusted friend who her assignment is, when she dies, the journals that no one should see, she's supposed to take them and like burn them, right? So I would recommend having some kind of system like that. I have not done that yet, but I probably should. So I would do that. You could also, you know, you could really leave it in your will, like what you want to be done with what journals. Now, of course, you run the risk of no one following your wishes. You may not know this. I know this because I was an English teacher, but Emily Dickinson, you know, one of the most famous poets ever, she did not publish any of her poetry. Well, that's not true. She published like one poem when she was alive. And it wasn't well received or something like that. I'm blanking on the details of the story. But she showed her poetry to a guy whose name I'm blanking on, and she didn't get the reaction she was looking for, so she was like, never mind, I'm just gonna write for myself. And so she wrote tons and tons of poetry, and she would give some of the poems to family members as gifts, and she used to bake a lot, and so sometimes she would like stuff the poems in her little baskets of baked goods, but she wasn't really publishing, right? And she left instructions for all of the poetry that she had written to be, all the poetry that, you know, hadn't been given to anybody, for all of it to be destroyed after her death. Obviously, that didn't happen, right? Because here we are. She was alive in the 1800s. Here we are in 2023, and we're still talking about Emily Dickinson's work. So my point is, you can leave these instructions, but people may not follow them. So that's the risk that we take when we are journalers. But I think it's a risk I'm willing to take. Honestly, most of my journals are kind of boring because it's me just plotting out business plans. But, you know, there are some are a bit more spicy, you know, when I'm talking about my marriage or if I'm talking about spiritual matters. So, I don't know. Some folks might be interested in reading that. Who knows? But anyway, I'll be dead. So I don't care what y'all do with them, frankly. All right. So thank you again for everyone who sent questions. Most of these questions came from the women who are a part of my C.J. Wright community. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how you can get involved. The Righteous Bay Podcast is a production of C. Jane Wright, a website and community for women who write and create, founded by me, Javacia Harris Bowser. Through courses, coaching, community, and virtual events, C. Jane Wright empowers and equips women to use their writing skills and their stories to make money and make a difference. We'd love for you to check out our free Facebook group so you can see what we're all about. Just head over to Facebook, search for C. Jane Wright Network, and come join us. I look forward to chatting with you in the group. So now I have 10 questions for you. These are 10 questions that I want you to think about and write about in your journal as you review this year and prepare for the next year. So if you are listening to this while you're driving, don't write these down. Keep driving. Write them down later. But if you are somewhere cozy, sitting at a desk or on your sofa or something like that, go on and break out your journal and start jotting these down. All right, the first question that I want you to ask yourself is, what have I accomplished in 2023? Now, this can include the goals that you set out to accomplish, but also things that weren't even on your radar. Things that kind of just happen. You know, a lot of times we get so busy setting goals for the year ahead that we forget to acknowledge what we have already accomplished. And we don't celebrate those accomplishments. And we really, really need to be better about that. So, three things that I've accomplished. I accomplished a lot, not to pat myself on the back, but three things that I accomplished that I definitely want to celebrate. One is that I launched the Righteous Bay podcast. Hooray. I also started hosting Write and Shine events. So this is Write and Shine is a collaboration between my company, C. Jane Wright, and my college besties company, Shine by Charlene. And we started creating these journal gift boxes. And then this year we started hosting events. So we hosted two events, both in Atlanta. They were both fabulous. We do plan to host more in 2024. I want to host one in Birmingham, which is where I'm based. So yeah, excited about that. And then, of course, if you follow me on social media, you know that I had a big, big win as a writer this year, and that was I had a piece published in Elle Magazine. Yes, Elle Magazine. Fresh out of Elle Magazine, right? All right. What were you most grateful for this year and why? Take some time to reflect on that. That's very, very important. And push yourself to give gratitude for stuff that we typically don't. You know, like, I feel like we always say, oh, I'm grateful for my family, for my friends. And you should be, right? We're grateful for our jobs and our homes and, you know, clothes on my back, food on my table. Yes, give thanks for all that stuff. But push yourself to give thanks for other things. Like, I'm very thankful for Pilates. So I started taking Pilates this year, and I'm completely obsessed with it. And I'm very grateful for Pilates. I'm also grateful for fun. Like, my husband and I were driving back from Virginia, which is where we spent the Thanksgiving holidays. And he was kind of reviewing some of the stuff we've done this year. And I was like, yo, we've had a fun year. Like, we've gone to a lot of concerts. We went to New York and had a fabulous time. We did our yearly trip in Orange Beach, and it was like the best one yet. So I'm very grateful for fun. One question you need to ask yourself, another question you need to ask yourself is, what did I learn about myself this year? I learned that self-care is so important for me. I learned that when I am neglecting self-care, that it affects everything. It affects my attitude. It affects my ability to handle my busy schedule. It even affects my self-esteem. So that's something I learned about myself. Next question, what do I need to accomplish before 2024 is here? So here's something that I started doing. This is actually an idea from a member of the CJ and Write Collective, which is my writing group. It's called a December ta-da list. So it's a to-do list, but you don't want to call it a to-do list because who gets excited about a to-do list? No, it's a December ta-da list. And so I make a list of all the stuff that I need to do to kind of, you know, wrap up things for the year, also set myself up for a good new year. And I include some fun stuff on there too, hence the name ta-da, right? And so I highly recommend that you do a December ta-da list as well. Next question, how will I ring in the new year? Now, some of you may not like New Year's Eve and you may be like, whatever, I'm going to be at home, sleep. And that's fine. But New Year's Eve is actually my favorite holiday. I love it because I'm a person who's all about goal setting, and I love New Year's Eve so much because I always feel like I'm on this precipice of possibility, and it's just, I love it, love it, love it. And so I'm always going to celebrate it. I used to have a party at my house, or apartment back before I had a house, every year. This year I'm going to do something different, and I'm actually going to Mobile, Alabama for New Year's Eve. So Mobile has a really big New Year's Eve celebration. They do a moon pie drop instead of like a glittery ball. They drop a moon pie. I can't even remember why. I need to look that up before I go. Anyway, there's going to be a concert, and it's like an old school hip hop concert to celebrate 50 years of hip hop. Super excited. So that's what I'm going to do. So if you don't want to just stay at home and go to sleep, plan something fun to do. What will be my word for 2024? I'm all about setting a word for the year. Honestly, I set words for the month too. The words for the month are more so about like how I want to feel that month. Word for the year is kind of guiding the goals that I set and the vision that I have for the year. And my word for 2024, you're the first to hear it because I haven't written about it on my blog yet, is leap. And not just because it's a leap year, but because I am believing for a quantum leap in all areas of my life in 2024. So that is my word. Next question, what will I do in 2024 to get closer to my long-term vision for my life? Now, in order for you to answer this question, you got to make sure you got a vision. So go back and listen to some episodes that I did on vision and values. That'll help you out with that. And then you need to decide, what are you going to do in 2024 to get closer to that vision? Next, what will be my focus for the first 90 days of 2024? Now, I'll admit that sometimes it can be kind of overwhelming and intimidating to think about planning for the entire year. So usually what I do is, yeah, I'll cast this vision, but then I'll focus on, okay, what am I going to do first? What am I going to do in these first 90 days? And in the CJ and Write Collective, we work through this book called The 12-Week Year for Writers. There's also a 12-week year just for everybody. So if you're not a writer, you can check that one out. But we work through 12-week year for writers. And so that's what I'll be doing in the first 90 days. Next question, what habits do I need to stack in 2024? I'm a big fan of habit stacking. What is habit stacking? That is, you know, we all have those things that we know we need to be doing, right? Like, I need to exercise. I need to drink more water. I need to eat more fruits and vegetables. I need to journal. I need to read more, blah, 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 right? The problem is we try to do all of those things at once, especially at the beginning of the year, right? Because we're like, okay, January 1st, I'm going to do all these things. And then you end up doing none of them because that's too much. You can't be doing all those things at once. So instead, you stack the habits. So you work on adopting them one at a time. And then once it becomes a habit, you move on to the next one. Okay? So take some time and figure out what habits you're going to try to stack in 2024. And then finally, who do I need to spend more time with this year? You know, when we talk about goal setting, we get so caught up in just like achievement. But what is life without people, right? So don't neglect your relationships while you're so busy going after all these goals. So make a list of folks that you need to spend more time with and get really, really intentional about spending time with those people. So those are my 10 questions for you. Take some time, journal around them. And if you feel like you need some help setting very, you know, specific and measurable goals for 2024 and developing a plan to actually accomplish them, I'm going to tell you how you can get some help from me for free. Hello, my name is Javacia Harris Bowser, and I am a goal digger. Let me make sure you heard me right. That is goal as in G-O-A-L, digger. I'm obsessed with goals. I'm obsessed with my goals, and I'm obsessed with your goals too. That's why on Sunday, December 10th at 4 p.m. Central, I'm hosting an online workshop that's all about helping you set your goals for 2024 and devising a plan for actually accomplishing them. To learn more and to get registered for this free workshop, head to cjanewrightbeham.com/workshop. All right, so this is the part of the podcast where I give you a prompt for the week. Now, I've already given you 10 prompts, right? But I'm going to give you another one. If you have been rocking with me all season long, you probably have heard my two podcast episodes about scripting. Scripting, some people call it manifesting, some people call it vision casting. It's basically writing about the future that you want as if it already is true. And so your prompt for this week is I want you to do some scripting. I want you to do some scripting about 2024. And here's your prompt. It is December 31st, 2024, and I'm so proud of all I've accomplished and who I've become this year. So you start with that, and then you just dream. And I want you to consider all areas of your life. So your relationships, your spiritual life, your health, your finances, your creative life, your professional life, your home, everything, right? Consider all areas of life and think about the stuff you want to accomplish. But also, I want you thinking about who you want to be, who you want to become this year. You know, I say that journaling is something that can help you become the best version of yourself. And something else I've been thinking a lot about this year is becoming your favorite version of yourself. And so what that means. So I really want you, after you have answered those other questions, then I want you to do some scripting. And I'll read that prompt to you one more time. It is December 31st, 2024, and I'm so proud of all I've accomplished and who I've become this year. All right, y'all, that is a wrap. This is the last episode of season one. Thank you again so much for going with me on this journey. I had a lot of doubts about starting a podcast, but y'all have definitely made it worth it. Thank you so much for listening. As I mentioned, I'm going to be planning season two in December. December is also a great time for you to get caught up if you've missed any episodes. Please reach out to me via social media or email and let me know what you want to hear next year. This podcast is for you. Yeah, it's for me because it's fun, but I'm doing it for you. So reach out to me. Let me know what you want to hear in season two. Let me know how your journaling practice is going. And let me know if you want to be a guest. I would love to chat with you about your journaling practice and the difference that the impact that journaling has made for you or in your life. All right. Again, thank you so much for rocking with me. That's it for this week's episode of the Righteous Babe podcast. Remember, you have the power to write your way through anything and to the life of your dreams. Happy journaling!